All right, it's the broadcast for God's Grace for You. It should be aired on Friday, the date on the label. Well, thank you so much. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, and we have come to the end of another week, and I can tell you the end of our study and rebuttal, etc., on the issue of tongues. We've been offering you a fact sheet for a couple of weeks called The Fact Sheet on Tongues. Also, we've been offering you the book, The Gospel. And also, I guess, if you need them, we'll supply you with the tapes that were done. I think now there will be four tapes on the issue that you can get. But certainly, hopefully you will listen to them if you get them and pass them around, or perhaps even use them as a means to check me out. Open the Bible. See what the Bible has to say for yourself. Now, if you like any of the offers this week, you can get them free. Give us a call, Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900, or you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com. If you're out of town, it's toll-free, 1-866-68-GRACE, or you can come by and see us or write us a letter. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. Just request your offer by name. And again, we thank all of you that have continued to call and write and email with kind words, and some of you even going so far to send some letters of support. Again, we appreciate that very much. As you know, all of what is done here is for the benefit of the listener. Everything that's offered is offered free, and we trust that someone profits from it. And obviously, as the Lord provides, we'll continue to do those things. Now, we ended yesterday in 1 Corinthians 13 showing you when these things came out of the church. And clearly, again, I can't emphasize the word enough, context. Context, line upon line, precept upon precept. Paul is writing a letter. He didn't write in chapter and verse. He wrote in a letter. We have to go by continuity of thought. Because a chapter changes doesn't mean the context changes. Because a verse changes doesn't mean the context changes. And Paul is directing the Corinthians to seek a superior viewpoint. And that's with a viewpoint that's centered in love. And not be so carnal, not be so wrapped up in some apostolic ability that they had. Now, Paul talks about, in verse 8, he says, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, what in the world is Paul saying? As we commented yesterday, he says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now, the verb fail there, as well as the verb vanish away at the end, as well as the word done away at the end of verse 10, is all the same verb. It's all kartageo. Now, when it comes to tongues, ceasing, it's a different verb. It's pao. And these things have different functions. So what he's saying is this, whether there be the gift of prophecy, okay, it shall be rendered useless and obsolete. But whether there be the gift of languages, they shall stop and come to an end. Whether there be the gift of knowledge, it shall be rendered useless. It shall become obsolete. Now, how in the world and why would these things occur? Now, we know why the tongues cease, because the next chapter he says they're for a sign for the unbelieving Jew. 70 A.D., there's no more unbelieving Jews to demonstrate tongues with. Moreover, again, we've challenged you this week, take your concordance, show me in all the Pauline writings, excluding 1 Corinthians, show me in all the Petrine writings, show me in Jude, show me in the Johannine epistles, show me where tongues appears. Why is there no emphasis on it when everybody's putting an emphasis on it today? Everyone's saying, hey, you got the gift? Did you get the baptism? And some denominations saying, if you don't have it, you're not saved at all. But Paul said what? Not everybody has it, and it's for a purpose. And he also said it would cease, and it has. Because we know once we leave 70 A.D. in church history, it shows up where? Where does it show up? It shows up in pagans, heretics, and in the occult. That's where it shows up. and you don't find it reappearing to the mid-1800s when it appears in England with a woman, then it appears in Topeka, Kansas with a woman, and then Azusa Street with heresy, and it goes on. Someone says, well, what about people like Amy Semple McPherson? What about her? She violated the Word of God with all her teachings, and then she died of an overdose of barbiturates. What about her? Well, she was the founder of the Four Square Gospel Music movement. So she violated 1 Corinthians. She violated the Word of God. And obviously, she lived in the flesh if she was saved. What about her? Someone says, what about Catherine Coleman? What about her? She was ecumenical. She claimed to be all this gift of healing and such. And suddenly, she got sick. And she went to Oral Roberts, his city of faith. Why? To check into his hospital. And someone called and told me that she died of cirrhosis of the liver. I don't know if that's true or not. The point is, there was no healings, but that was her ministry. But she was ecumenical, and that's important, because we've been demonstrating that all week, that the link, the common link, is the ecumenical movement. That's the common link. When we find ecumenism, we find tongues. We don't find it the other way around. We always find the individual drawn to the ecumenical movement like a moth to the flame. Now, he says these things are going to cease. They're going to become obsolete. They're going to be rendered useless. Why? He says, for we know in part. What does he mean? Well, we have part revelation at the writing. At 56 A.D., they had part revelation. Did they have any idea about the new heavens and new earth yet? Did they have any idea about what would occur during the tribulation period? No, none. That hadn't been written yet. So he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. He says, but when that which is perfect is come, literally, when the completed is come. Perfect there is the Greek word teleios. We find same word in John 19:30. It is finished. When it's finished, when the revelation is finished, that's the context here. The context here is in the second advent of Christ. That's not the context. It's revelation from God. So he says, for right now we know in part. We have part knowledge, part revelation, 56 A.D. We prophesy in part. We don't know it all yet. He says, but when that which is come, that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It shall fail. It shall be rendered useless. Do you see that? In other words, when we get the completed revelation, why do we need partial revelation anymore? Why do we need some mechanism to communicate what's already been communicated? So he says they're going to go by the wayside. And they did. They did. The God of the Bible is the God of history. Go back and study church history. Go study the first 1700 years of church history. See what you find. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish or incomplete things. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. I shall have full knowledge of him. I shall have the full revelation of him. And that's exactly what we have. Paul is writing at a time that we call the pre-canonical time, pre-canon, before the canon was complete. Post-canon, we have what? We have everything to eternity future. Everything from eternity past to eternity future. When John finished penning the book of the Revelation in about 96 A.D., it was gone, done, complete. We knew it all. Now, what do you have that's not in between eternity past and eternity future? Nothing. God has revealed everything to us in his word that's relevant and germane to us. Everything that he wants us to know now, we find there. Now, what did you glean that's not in there? We find all sorts of people gleaning all sorts of things that are not in there. And how did they get it? Well, God spoke to me. Oh, he gave me a word of knowledge. Oh, he gave me this. He gave me that. Let me ask you this. How many quote unquote prophets in our country? Where was the mighty crook, Pat Robertson? Why didn't he foretell 9/11? Where's all these prophets and apostles? Why didn't they come and say God's judgment's about to come and he's about to hit the Twin Towers? Why? Well, because it's not God's judgment. It's not God's wrath. And there are no prophets. We look at these things and listen, people are drawn to this nonsense like people are drawn to the psychic hotline, like they're drawn to all sorts of things. Now, for some of you, that may be harsh, but sometimes truth is painful. These things are not genuine. They're not genuine. They're not biblical. Now, I'm not telling you deny your experience. You can have all sorts of experiences. I've had experiences. I won't deny my experiences. But when my experiences stand in opposition to the Word of God, my experience has to go. I don't care what I feel. You know, I saw a guy one time put a feather right through the middle of a quarter on television. I saw him do that. Now, do you think he did it? I watched a fellow make the Empire State Building disappear one time. Do you think he did that? But I saw it. I know people who went to Medjugorje and saw the sun dance. You think it did? Now, you're going to believe whatever you want to believe. And if you're going to make your emotional experience your final authority, there's nothing anybody can do for you. But if your final authority is the written word of the living God, then you have something. The book overwhelmingly that the enemy hates, that he burned people at the stake for trying to get it printed in the native tongue of people so that they could read it and understand it. People who have been persecuted for years because they put the Word of God above religious practice. Now, where are you in all this? Are you just simply a religious person, bounced along, tossed to and fro, following experience to experience? Are you an experience seeker? Are you a sign seeker? You know, when Jesus was asked by the followers, they said, you know, Lord, give us a sign. Give us a sign that we might believe. And Jesus said what? He said, it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. He says, I'm going to give you one sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly or the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, so to speak. And then the resurrection. What more will we need? What more do you need? It's all I need. And he's given me a written record. And John says, these things have I written unto you so that you could know you had eternal life. Friend, you don't need anything else but the Word of God. You need to spend time in it. Read it. Let God be true and every man found to be a liar. If you'd like the offers this week, the gospel book, or anything else, give us a call. 392-4900 or go to the website heritagebiblechurch.com or come by and see us. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. Call a friend and join us next week at this same time.